branding, experience, conversation, promotion, powerful marketing, empowering small business to change their status quo. It's the internet show all about small business marketing. Jay Arrett hosts the brightest minds in marketing. Power to the small business.
Hey, did you like that? Long-time listeners will recognize that's a brand new intro. Thanks to Marilyn Foster of the Big Success Radio Show, great podcast for businesses and entrepreneurs, hosted by Marilyn Foster and George Kruger. My wife and I had a chance to have dinner with both Marilyn and George when we were in Chicago at the beginning of June for WordCamp. So thanks, Marilyn. It sounds great. And hello, welcome to Power to the Small Business, the internet show about small business marketing. My name is Jay Arrett. I coach, consult, speak, and write about small business marketing. My website is themarketingspot.com. My blog is themarketingspotblog.com. And as always, you can find all previous episodes of this podcast at poweredtothesmallbusiness.com. Topic on the show today is word of mouth. Our guest is John Moore, WOM enthusiast for WOMA, the Word of Mouth Marketing Association. John has also written a book called Tribal Knowledge, Business Wisdom Brewed from the Grounds of Starbucks Corporate Culture. John has his own marketing practice, brandautopsy.com. He's a former marketer for both Starbucks and Whole Foods. You know, the last couple of years, I think word of mouth has become the forgotten marketing discipline because there's been so much emphasis on social media. In fact, I think sometimes word of mouth is often replaced by the term social media, and they're not the same thing. Social media may be a channel through which word of mouth is spread, but social media itself is not word of mouth. So just what is word of mouth? How does it spread? And how do you get some for your business? Let's find out from one of my favorite marketers, John Moore. We go to the Skype line now. Joining us is John Moore, self-proclaimed marketingologist at brandautopsy.com. He's also a WOM enthusiast for WOMA, the Word of Mouth Marketing Association. John, welcome back to the big show.
Thanks, Jay.
Here you are at WOMA now, WOM enthusiast. You got a new blog. Tell me a little bit about your WOMA gig.
Well, as you know, I've been a long-time supporter of word of mouth marketing. It's just kind of how I've been ingrained on doing business, that is, finding ways to get customers talking. And I've actually been a member of the Word of Mouth Marketing Association in sort of its early days. They actually began in 2005, and when I began on my own with the Brand Autopsy Marketing Practice, I joined WOMA and was a member there for a couple years and have kind of come back to help them to better shape some of the messaging and also to serve as sort of their spokesperson talking about word of mouth and championing word of mouth with businesses.
And word of mouth is the subject of this episode of Power to the Small Business. Give us a little background. What is WOMA? What do they do?
WOMA, as I said, began in 2005, and they were basically set up as a nonprofit trade association helping marketers become smarter about sparking conversations with customers. And they're all about trying to do this in an effective but also truthful manner. And it is setting forth great examples, case study examples on how businesses can generate genuine word of mouth.
So let's jump right into it about word of mouth, because if you spent any time on the internet, I'd say the last couple of years, it seems that word of mouth, in my opinion at least, is kind of becoming a little bit of a discipline that's being pushed to the back. And the term social media seems to oftentimes replace the term word of mouth. What's your opinion about that, and where do you think word of mouth is going?
That's a good point, Jay. These days, social media is sexy. It's just this. I mean, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, those are sexy topics to talk about. But what a lot of folks have forgotten is word of mouth is the original social media. Before we had Twitter, before we had Facebook, before we had LinkedIn, we were all connecting face-to-face, voice-to-voice, as well as blog-to-blog. But nowadays, though, the term social media, as I said, is sexier to, let's say, CMOs than is word of mouth. And because it is sexier, more companies will find dollars to fund social media projects rather than word of mouth. However, social media is just another form of word of mouth. What does get lost here is that most word of mouth happens face-to-face, voice-to-voice. In fact, a study has shown 90% of WOM happens in the physical world, when just 10% of word of mouth, if you will, happens in the digital world on blogs, through email, on Twitter, and so forth.
And that gets lost, I think, with marketers, too, because we are so wrapped up in this new age of conversation and all these glitzy online tools that maybe we're forgetting the basics of, hey, word of mouth takes place person to person. It doesn't all happen online.
Yeah, but here's where the payoff comes on to being sexier.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit easier to measure and to quantify digital conversations rather than physical conversations. You can better measure online traffic than you can measuring conversations that happened in a coffee shop between two people. So it is a little bit tough on that end. However, the big picture is finding ways to get people talking, finding ways to get customers talking. And that is word of mouth as the big umbrella. Below that, there are various ways to go about doing that. One of the pathways is utilizing online social media tools.
This podcast is two small businesses, two entrepreneurs here. And so we want to speak to them too here. Yeah, maybe they can use some of the online tools, but we need to also stimulate this word of mouth offline too for these small businesses. Kind of set us up the picture here and help small business owners understand word of mouth and can they influence and how do they influence it?
Okay. Let me back up a little bit here and share some startling statistics with you
okay. And
the audience, Jay. Startling stats. You ready?
Yes,
number
startling.
Yes, I'm going to startle you here. Are you prepared? You sitting down?
I'm holding on. Nice. Let's go.
Holding on. Okay. In 2006, Bold Mouth did a study, and that told us that 76% of consumers believe companies are untruthful in their advertising. That's 3 out of 4 consumers. Which, of course, we kind of know and we've always suspected it, but this kind of quantifies that. And we've also learned through a Nielsen report back in 2007 that 78% of consumers trust completely or somewhat the recommendations of consumers. That's pretty startling. That clearly people trust people like themselves. And finally, 91% of people would be likely to use a product or service recommended by someone who had used it themselves. That came from 2005. That clearly shows that there is some power in word of mouth.
But we tend to spend a lot of time on the traditional forms of advertising and marketing. You know, why do you think that word of mouth doesn't get more attention as much as like advertising does?
Because it's tougher to do, Jay. Because to me, I kind of talked about it, how there are two ways to generate word of mouth. You can bake it, or you can make it. You just don't want to fake it. That's the new thing that's coming out real soon. Bake it, make it, just don't fake it. Here's really what I mean by that. By baking it, it is you bake it inside how a company does business every day. It's a part of a company's culture. Making it is just trying to layer it onto the marketing mix of activities your company is doing. And by not faking it means by not deceiving consumers and doing things to be truthful with them. Not trying to fake it, because if you fake word of mouth, if you do activities where you are lying, you're going to be discovered and you're going to be deployed.
Okay, let's go through that, your little formula there. Can you give me maybe a practical example of baking it into a company culture?
Okay, so again, baking it, that's word of mouth that is baked inside of how a company does business every day. Baking it follows the thinking that a company's personality is its best form of advertising. The company's style is its best form to advertise. One way to do this is a remarkable product. Let's compare the iPod to Zoom. iPod is a remarkable product. Yes, they did some advertising, but really what generated usage and adoption was recommendations from someone using it. I know very few people that are evangelists or that recommend Zoom, yet we saw a lot of advertising to introduce the product, which was, compared to the iPod, not remarkable. So baking it is by doing a remarkable product. A second way is unbelievable customer service. We know when we have great customer service, we talk about it, as well as when we have horribly bad customer service, we talk about it. Zappos does this very well. They are a company that has been around for about 10 years, and they see customer service as their competitive advantage. And in fact, their core value, number one, that is how we're supposed to do business every day, number one says deliver wow service. But they do this in an unsexy way by hiring the best people. One thing that I think that they do brilliantly is they could weed out those folks that don't get it by doing a $2,000 test. What they do when they hire employees, they put them through training. After week one, they sit down those employees and say, okay, you have a better idea as to what a company is about, and you have a better idea as to people who you're going to be working with. I'll give you $2,000 to leave today. Less than 10% of the people take the $2,000.
Hmm.
More than 90% say, you can keep your $2,000. I like this company. I like these people. I want to be here.
Yeah, you know, John, what I hear you saying here with this bake it, make it thing is that it's intentional. I mean, you are actually working, you know, intentionally to create something that is worth talking about. You know, typical businesses, they think, well, I'm good at what I do. I'm going to try hard. I've got quality. I've got good service. But they don't take that extra step in what can I do intentionally to get someone's attention so that they will talk about it.
Bingo. What you've just gone about is something that I use that word intention. Companies that bake it a part of their company culture, they are more about trying to garner intention. They want you to use and experience a company. They want you to get inside to touch where the company is, what the company is doing, as opposed to making it, which is usually about trying to garner attention.
Mm-hmm.
Attention sometimes can be fleeting. You grab attention, but you don't get intention, meaning as you don't cross the gap from someone getting their attention to actually buying the product. And that sometimes goes to the advertising that we see,
mm-hmm.
is where you get attention, but you don't get intention.
Okay, that's baking it. What about making it, John?
Mm-hmm. Let's go back, because I talked about two ways that you can bake it. There are also ways that you can make it, and it's perfectly fine. Because to me, making it happen is basically word of mouth as a program that is layered on or as part of a company's overall marketing mix. Making it is about doing something interesting to get customers' attention. One thing that I think we get lost about, and I'm not trying to say that traditional advertising is bad, because it's not. It serves a role. And especially it also serves an important role in getting customers talking. Keller Fay did a study where it showed 22% of all word-of-mouth conversations are the result of interesting ads that a person sees. GoDaddy, Super Bowl ads. You might disagree with their approach, but they do things to get attention and they enter in the conversation. And so you can go beyond just doing traditional advertising, but let's say PR types of stuff, doing some interesting activities. One company that I think has done something brilliantly is Pizza Patron. They're a regional pizza chain geared toward the Hispanic crowd. They, about 2 years ago, started accepting pesos, and that garnered a lot of attention. A lot of people talked about it.
And you know, one of the things that you're talking about here, John, being interesting, is these companies are not afraid to go out and do something which some people might not like. Like, there are a lot of people who say, I don't like GoDaddy, their commercials are sexist or whatever like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you name me another domain registration company online that is branded the way GoDaddy is branded, and it's because they've been willing to step out, do something a little risque, and go out on the limb a little bit. And the other examples you mentioned too is do something that's out of the ordinary, do something that's worth talking about. Otherwise, you know, why are people going to talk about you?
Bingo. And to me, it comes down to five simple words. Remarkable things get remarked about. The way to become remarkable is to do things that earn opinions. Now, the challenge when you go out there to do things to earn an opinion is you have to have confidence. You're going to earn more positive opinions than negative opinions.
Mm-hmm.
But if you, as a business person, ask this question, does blank activity earn an opinion? Does this pamphlet earn an opinion? Does this poster earn an opinion? Does my business card earn an opinion? If it does, great. If you can't say that this card has got such a unique style, this pamphlet has got such a unique look and feel, and the content is so interesting, it's going to earn an opinion. If you cannot say that your marketing materials earn opinions, then I think you have opportunities to add some personality so that all of your marketing materials activities earn opinions. And then you, as a business, have to have confidence the opinions from customers are going to be more positive than they are negative.
Well, can you break it down for us, John, some steps, some small business entrepreneurs that they can take to start grasping this word of mouth thing and start moving forward with their own word of mouth program?
To me, I think A is to begin with that point of trying to ask that question, does blank earn an opinion? And I would do that for every customer touch point a business has. And don't think that you have to go the easy, templated route. For instance, to me, I'm amazed at mom-and-pop shops that are cafes, restaurants that use template signage, that have a sign that says, please see hostess or something like that. And they get it out of a restaurant book. That has no personality. That sign doesn't earn an opinion. But if they were to do something local, it wouldn't cost them that much money, but it would be able to showcase a company's personality. That, to me, that's the best advice. Something we didn't really talk about but is important here is remarkable customer experiences. I put a blog up recently about a remarkable customer experience that I had at a hotel chain in Chicago to where they gave me, because I was a solo guest, they had a goldfish in the room to keep me company. That's kind of interesting. But the second day that I was there, I had a handwritten note from the person who was responsible for cleaning my room. This handwritten note said something like, hi, John, I hope you're having a great stay here. If there's anything I can do, call housekeeping and ask for me. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Making it goes into having a personality through some of the traditional activities your company does. Through the advertising you use, through the activities, or more importantly, for the conversations you want to spark. If you have customers that you know are loyal customers, that are going to be influential customers, why don't you invite them to lunch? Learn more about what they like and they don't like. Or potentially put together an ad hoc customer advisory board and share a little bit more about your business, what you're trying to achieve, and how they view your business, and potentially how they tell people about your business.
We're talking with John Moore, self-proclaimed marketingologist at brandautopsy.com, also WOM enthusiast for WOMA, the Word of Mouth Marketing Association. Great stuff, John. What about some more learning resources? I know you are a business book junkie. Are there some books we can learn from? Does WOMA have some online learning resources we can go to?
Well, yes, Jay, you are right. There are some wonderful books about word of mouth marketing, as well as some great resources at WOMA.org. Anyway, some great books. Emmanuel Rosen put out the Word of Mouth Bible a few years ago, and he has updated it. The Anatomy of Buzz Revisited by Emmanuel Rosen. This is the quintessential Bible for word of mouth marketing. Highly recommend that. Also, to recommend a book, Word of Mouth Marketing, How Smart Companies Get People Talking, by the former CEO of WOMA, Mr. Andy Cernovitz. Good book. The other book that I would recommend, Creating Customer Evangelists, by Ben McConnell and Jackie Huba. That's a book that is out in paperback, and it is a classic book that has been around for a couple of years. But the examples and the tactical guidance they give, very, very good and very relevant today. And finally, if you go to WOMMA.org, that's WOMMA.org, click on the Downloads button. You will have a couple of PDFs to choose from. One is a WOM 101 guide. It gives you a lot of basic guidelines on how to do word of mouth, as well as you've got some other guidelines on how to do it in an effective and truthful manner, as well as there are case studies galore on the site from which you can learn from.
Great resources. I'll link to all of them on the show notes, which you can see at the blog. John, appreciate all this word of mouth tips. Let's get to know John a little bit, the man behind the man. John, why don't you tell us some of your other passions other than marketing, other than word of mouth?
Well, Jake, you know me, and I live by the motto of I take my job seriously, myself lightly. I'm a bit of a goofy guy, so I try to do things that are fun and somewhat interesting. So I have a couple of passions in life, beer, music, and business. I go pretty deep in all of them. Business, you just kind of heard about. Beer, years ago, I got clued in on what great beer should taste like. And since then, I have gone pretty deep in learning more about craft beer. And I'm someone who's so into beer. And what's great about beer is regionality. Because in Texas, I can only get a certain amount of beers. I'm so deep into this. When I travel, I pack bubble wrap in my suitcase. Because I can go out and I can find some really rare and obscure beers that I would never be able to get in Texas. Wrap them up in bubble wrap. Send them back home.
You turned me on to IPAs, and you know, once you go IPA, you never go back, so it's hard.
If indeed you end up appreciating a really hoppy beer, and you get the fact of, oh my gosh, hops add, yeah, it tastes bitter, but it's a good bitter, and the aroma is just amazing. Once you experience that, and you go, wait a minute, yellow beer can have flavor? Wow. And yet, you have a hard time going back. Something else that I'm into pretty deep is music. I am into funky jazz and jazzy funk. Back in the day, Jay, I had a radio show at 107.1 KWBU Waco. Friday Night Funk is what the show was called. And for 2 hours, I was playing the best in funk music as well as, at the time, hip-hop music. And this was from 88 to 92. Had a blast doing it. I go pretty deep into the funk genre.
Yeah, I thought I knew funk until I met you, and I'm like, I'm not worthy. You are the funk master.
I tell people I go deep. In fact, one thing a lot of people don't know about me is I go also pretty deep into hip-hop from the standpoint of I treat hip-hop like some people treat the blues. The blues form the basis for rock and roll. Old-school hip-hop, back before Rapper's Delight, where there were battle tapes, that right there, that some of that stuff, that's sort of the blues for what hip-hop has become. I would much rather listen to the blues of hip-hop than what I hear today, but going back that far, that deep, I gain a new appreciation for one of the most creative musical genres that has ever been created.
All right, a man of many tastes, John Moore, Brand Autopsy Marketing Practice out of Austin, Texas. John, where can we find you on the web?
BrandAutopsy.com, as well as make sure that you go by and pick up my new single available on iTunes. Bake it, make it, just don't fake it.
And folks, if you know John Moore, you know he is kidding right there. Although I wouldn't be surprised to see it someday downloadable on iTunes. John, we appreciate your insights into word of mouth and WOMMA today here on The Big Show.
Thanks, Jay.
Bake it, make it, but don't fake it. Thanks, John. I do want to go ahead and add one of my favorite word of mouth books to John's list there. It's called Secrets of Word of Mouth Marketing from George Silverman. I'll post the links to all those books in the show notes on the blog, themarketingspotblog.com. So I spent many years in radio advertising sales, and now the past 8 years as a small business marketing consultant. And the business owners that I speak with often say that word of mouth is the most powerful form of marketing. Do you believe that? I do. Studies prove it. So the question is, what are you doing about it? Do you have a word of mouth marketing plan for your business? If it's so powerful, don't leave it to chance. Do something about it. Take John to heart. Do something that earns an opinion. Bake it into your company culture or make it. So where do you start? Well, John mentioned the books. There are also some resources on the WOMMA website, WOMA.org. Check that out. I will post those links in the show notes. And I also have some free resources for you from The Marketing Spot. A couple of free downloadable worksheets along with some audio visual presentations for you. I'll post those links in the show notes. Plus, you can go back and listen to a previous podcast episode. I actually have one of the authors of Creating Customer Evangelist, Jackie Huba, in episode number 17 of Power to the Small Business. But the thing is, now that you know you can do something about it, do something about it. Don't just say it's the most powerful form of marketing. Put it to use for your business. And that puts a wrap on episode number 31 of Power to the Small Business. Remember, you can subscribe to the show in iTunes by going to powertothesmallbusiness.com and clicking on the link Subscribe in iTunes. I'll post the show notes and all the links mentioned in today's program on the blog, themarketingspotblog.com. My name is Jay Arrett. We'll see you back here next time on the internet show all about small business marketing. Power to the small business.
You've been listening to Power to the Small Business with Jay Arrett, the internet show exclusively about small business marketing. Please see the complete show notes at themarketingspotblog.com. You can also listen to the show online and subscribe in iTunes at powertothesmallbusiness.com. Never miss an episode of the internet show all about small business marketing. Power to the small business.